Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where every week I keep you updated on the latest trends and how-tos in coworking. I owned and operated coworking spaces for 8 years and then served as the executive director of the Global Workspace Association for 5 years. And today I work with hundreds of operators and community managers every month, allowing me to bring you thought-provoking operator case studies and inspirational interviews with industry thought leaders to help you confidently stay on top of what's important and what you can apply to your own role in the coworking industry. Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast. This is your host, Jamie Russo. Thanks for joining me today. I am excited to be back to recording after a trip for spring break and then a trip to Salt Lake City for the Juicy Conference. It has been a busy couple of weeks, but great to connect with some of you that were at the Juicy Conference. It's great to see everyone, get some great content, mostly really great conversations. And I'm looking forward to the GWA conference in Phoenix. I am also going to Phoenix at the end of May. I am hiking the Grand Canyon, only one side to one side, which takes a whole day. I'm supposed to be training for it, but I'm having trouble motivating to train to hike that long. So it's not going very well. I'm hoping that adrenaline and, you know, the shape I'm in will do it for me. So we'll see. Okay, so a couple of quick things before we dive in. One, if you're listening to this in April, it is Google Business Month inside of our membership. And our membership is for community managers, but you can join if you're not a community manager, if you're an owner-operator or want to get your team involved in making sure that you're optimizing your Google Business profile every single month. This is not a set it and forget it. You need to manage that listing and make sure it's optimized, you're getting reviews every month, and that you're posting to it every month, that it's keyword optimized, and that you add photos every month. This is because about probably 80% of your organic traffic is coming through that Google Business listing. We also have training on how to identify if there are invalid users using your address for their Google Business listing without officially registering that through you, and a campaign to make sure you get those folks qualified and monetized. So it's good stuff. It'll be there even past April, but in April, we're also running a review contest, which our community managers love. So you can learn more at everythingcoworking.com/community-manager. We also are talking today about email marketing. And for some of you, this comes really naturally. You come from some sort of background where, you know, email marketing is a core part of your marketing mix. But I encounter a lot of operators for whom it's totally new. And I'm always kind of surprised at how many spaces don't have a marketing newsletter. So I think email marketing is really critical. If you're on my email list, I try to email every Wednesday. I did miss last week because I was at Juicy, but you'll have an email in your inbox this Wednesday if you're listening, hopefully, because you might be listening on any week. But we try to be really consistent. It's really important for us to build relationships with you, build the know, like, and trust, and get valuable content in your inbox every single week. You may not choose to produce a marketing newsletter every single week. Maybe you do it once a month, but you can create a really simple template that is compelling to your non-members. So you might choose to include your members. We recommend having two pretty similar versions, but one that's for members and has some members-only stuff in it, and then one that's a marketing newsletter that goes to that email list that you're building and that hopefully you're going to monetize. And that's what we're going to talk about in this episode with our visibility expert, Tracy Beavers. And I just also want to mention that we do also do training on how to set up your marketing newsletter step-by-step in our membership. So if this is something that's on your list, then get you or your team into that membership and step-by-step templates. We try to make it really simple for you to get these things done. Save time and save brain power. Okay, without further ado, we're going to jump right in. Okay, welcome. I am here with Tracy Beavers, who is, well, Tracy, I'll let you introduce yourself in a second, but she's not a co-working space owner. So I think this will be fun.
I'll let you tell us how you classify yourself. We are in a membership together, which is how I got to know you. A membership for mostly co course creators and lots of different kinds of course creators. So, I run, for those listening, know that I run the Coworking Startup School and a training and development membership for community managers of coworking spaces. So that group is like my professional development group. And so I've chatted with Tracy before, and she helps business owners grow through a number of ways, but through growing their email list. And I'm like a little bit passionate about this concept because I think a lot of coworking space owners come into the business and maybe don't have a marketing background, and it's not as natural for them as course creators. It's very important for us to grow our email list, and it's one of the things we're thinking about all the time. But I find that folks are slower to start sort of thinking about it as a marketing tool. So Tracy was willing to come on and chat about her expertise and, how this might apply to coworking space owners. So Tracy, thank you for taking the time to do this.
You bet. Thanks for having me, Jamie. I'm excited.
Okay, and remind me where you're calling in from.
I am in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Okay, Arkansas is kind of a hot market for co-working these days.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just at a co-working conference and there was somebody from kind of northern Arkansas there. And the woman who runs our industry association lives in Bentonville, I think, or near Bentonville,
Awesome.
which I
Nice.
mean, Arkansas is a big place. But anyway, and you were just in Spain were you there for 2 weeks?
We were there for 10 days, almost 2 weeks. Yeah. Yes. It was my first trip to Europe. We went to Madrid and we were there for 3 or 4 days. And then we took a train to Barcelona and stayed there for a few days. And then we went back to Madrid and flew out. And our son is just so proud of the young man he's become. He's a sophomore in college and he's studying at his college's campus in Madrid. They actually have a campus in Madrid.
That's
And so
amazing.
when he announced that he wanted to do that last summer, I immediately said, "Spring break 2024, we're going to Madrid." And my husband was
Totally.
like, "What in the world?" I was like, "Start saving our money now because we're going."
Totally. Okay, what was your favorite thing about Spain?
Oh, well, as I mentioned, hugging my son because,
Ah, right. Yes.
I know, isn't that funny? I went all the way to Europe and my favorite part was the first hug I got because I hadn't seen him in 10 weeks. And, for your baby, he is our youngest. Our oldest is, I don't worry about her quite as much. She's 25. She just bought a new house and she's a police officer. So she's fine. But,
Yeah.
when your baby boards a plane for the other side of the
Yeah.
world and you're like, oh my God, then I couldn't wait to get my hands on him. But the experience was amazing, being in a completely different culture, not speaking the language, but the biggest takeaway I came from, that the food was great, the culture was great, everything we saw was great. But what really solidified something I've known for a long time was this trip, was that people are the same. We're more alike than we are different, regardless of the language we speak, the beliefs we have, the places we live. I mean, it didn't matter that I didn't speak the language fluently. We could still communicate because there's a whole lot of communication that happens with facial expressions and body language. And, that was just really fun to be able to just, go to a different country and that they were really sweet and kind and they wanted us to have a good time and we were really sweet and kind. And, I think it just brings you together with people.
Yeah, the desire for connection is such a universal truth. Yeah, and that resonates with my audience because that's really the why behind why a lot of people start co-working spaces is they want to get people out of their house and connect and grow together and kind of like why we're in momentum together because we want to connect with other people. So
Yeah, it's all about community and building that connection and relationships. And, like I say, it was just fun. It was just fun to realize that I could go to the other side of the world and still make a connection.
yeah, I love it. Okay, can you tell us a little bit about kind of the broader work that you do, and then we'll dive into the email piece.
For sure. So for your audience, I'll share a little bit more about my background because it pertains to what they're doing. So currently, I'm a business and sales coach in the online space, and I teach in large part, I'm a visibility and email list growth strategist, mainly now for coaches, course creators, and online entrepreneurs. But when I started years ago, I come from a corporate environment, and over 20 years of marketing, sales, and business development for brick and mortar businesses, whether they were product-based or service-based. And so I can really resonate with your audience building, you know, opening up a co-working space and wanting to market it effectively. Those are the kinds of companies that I represented and grew market share for them, portfolio share, all the things. And so moving into the online space, what's been interesting is that the conversations and the way you market and sell your business are the same, whether you're brick and mortar and in person or online. It's just the location of the conversation that has changed. And so when you get into the online space, you have to do a few things a little bit differently, but it's not that much different than building a brick and mortar business and being, you know, wanting to get those referrals from your clients and wanting to stay top of mind with your clients and, you know, wanting the public to know who you are and getting that great PR from news channels and, you know, all of that stuff. So there's a lot of similarities. It's not quite that different. It's just a little bit different take on the marketing piece because they are local and brick and mortar versus online and global. But that's my background. I just got fully fed up with corporate. I had been fed up with it for a while, but it took me, you know, till having that final last straw. And I was like, I am hatching a plan to leave. I'm not doing this anymore. This is for the birds. And it took me a couple of years, but I did it. I fully exited and haven't looked back, and it's been great.
Yeah, I love it. Well, we have a lot of folks who might be hatching the same plan and thinking about opening a space and doing what they love and serving their community and building a sustainable business. Right. Or they have a co-working space, and we'll kind of talk about email marketing for that audience. But they also, as I mentioned before we hit record, we have lots of multi-passionate folks who may also be, you know, coaches and may also do some of their own work that isn't specifically related to their physical location. So I think this conversation will be really helpful. So I do find that a lot of operators that I work with are pretty new to the idea of email marketing. So it makes complete sense to them that they would have a customer list and that they're emailing their customers about space updates or, you know, amenity updates or that kind of thing, but not necessarily thinking about it as a core marketing tool. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of like, we might start a little like 101 on the value of using that and, you know, maybe some approaches or, you know, benefits, like what's the ROI of doing that. I even see people who I think should be kind of natural at this, but they're kind of slow to get that going. Yeah. Do you have some initial, I'll kind of connect the dots a little bit, but I'd love to hear kind of how you think about the value of developing that relationship over email.
Yeah, that email list is critical to any kind of business, no matter if it's brick and mortar, no matter if it's a retail store, an online business, it doesn't matter. We have to have a way to stay top of mind with our clients. Relying on social media only to promote our businesses, or even relying on television ads or newspaper ads or whatever, some of the things that radio spots, some of the things that your clients that are doing the co-working space may be relying on those things to get the word out is not bad, but it's not the only strategy you can have, because that radio station may go dark. That radio ad may get glitchy. I mean, we just never know. We don't have any control over those things. And it's all about control. It's like, when we talk about online entrepreneurs building in the online global space, the same holds true. I don't own Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. Those things could go dark anytime, and they have gone dark. There was it about 4 months ago? Facebook was down for 24 hours or something, and everybody was completely freaking out. Yeah, and then a year and a half ago, you know, it was down for 36 hours. And so, as business owners, we have to be careful. We have to ensure and shore up our businesses by creating what I call the best asset you have, which is your email list of your clients and potential clients. Because if all that went dark, you could still send an email to your people. And if you're a brick and mortar local, you could even send snail mail to those people.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I love it when I get something in the mail that's not a bill. And mm-hmm. so, you know, we have to think to ourselves, okay, this is my business. I have got to protect my revenue. I've got to protect my investment. How can I do that in the best way? And the best way you can do that is by making sure you know how to attract your ideal clients to your list so you can nurture them into buyers. But then also everybody that's purchased from you or interested in what you're doing, that they're on your list and you are communicating with them regularly so that when they think of a co-working space, they think of you first. Or when they think of a course creator, they think of you first. And then they start to refer you because they remember you.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, you think about the radio example, and I don't know how many people advertise on radio, but I had someone go through our startup school program recently who does. She's in a smaller market and she uses radio. And I was just thinking, you know, the radio ad or even the Google ad, you get them to see something that you're doing or learn about you. But if you have that, oh, but I want to tell them this, you can't, you know, go back. You don't have their email address unless right. the campaign really is designed to build that. You right. can't continue that conversation. So it's like a one-way dialogue. And you, to your point, you don't own it. You have to keep paying to get in front of them.
Right.
Or I think this always surprises folks is organic social media. I think people think this is just an automatic thing we do. And of course you're going to invest, you know, a lot of time and resources into that. And I'm constantly reminding folks, your organic reach is 10% of your following. So if you have 1,000 people, they're going to see following your Instagram account, 100 of them are going to see any given post. It's depressing.
It is depressing. Yeah. I'm not even sure it's as high as 10% anymore.
I'm interrupting for a second. Are you working on starting a co-working space? I often emphasize how important the planning stage is. You've heard me say most unrecoverable issues happen well before you open your doors, and they are related to the size of your space, your real estate deal, and a few other things. If you think you are going to pick your favorite co-working space and reverse engineer what you think you see happening in there, and then pick your own paint colors and your favorite furniture, you are in for a surprise. This business is really about making the right fundamental decisions that align with your individual personal and financial goals. So we want to help you avoid the mistakes that a lot of operators make in planning and launching that can really set you back in terms of time and finances. So we have got your back. We have created a free training to help you really get behind the three key decisions that we think are the most critical for you to get right when you're designing your co-working business. The model, not the colors, the model. And these insights come from years of operating, designing the model for two different locations, and then my work with hundreds of operators as they work on their businesses. So grab your spot in our training class. You can watch it anytime. It's totally on demand. And start your co-working journey with confidence and the right strategies in place. You can grab that training at everythingcoworking.com/masterclass.
It may not be, I know.
But yeah, you're exactly right. And so my students and clients will get frustrated. They're like, well, I've been posting and nothing's happening. And I'm like, okay, hold on, wait a minute.
Yeah.
How many times are you posting? What formats are you using on social media? We have to use lots of posts. We have to get out there. We have to use reels, stories, posts, carousels, all the formats that they give us going live. Oh my gosh, nothing reaches an audience like going live. So if there's somebody in your audience that has a brick and mortar, get your cell phone out, go out into your co-working space, go live and show everybody how awesome it is.
Yeah.
And then use the appropriate hashtags for your local market. But we can't just try one thing and think that everybody saw it. It feels like everybody sees it.
Yes.
I gave this yes. description in one of my live Q&A calls with the students and they died laughing. But it feels like we are standing naked on the interstate with a big sign that says, look at me, look at me, look at me, right? when we're posting on social media or we're going live or we're doing something, we feel like we are literally, everybody can see us. They can see everything we're doing. And that's not true. It's just a few people are going to see you and what you're doing on social media.
No,
but everybody stand a better chance of getting everybody to see you and know what you're doing if you get into their inbox.
Yeah. And you don't have to stand with naked with a sign.
Right. Don't do that. Don't be naked with a sign.
And it's also one way to get better reach on social is paid ads, right? Which is, they're complicated. You have to learn them or you have to outsource them. I always encourage people to learn them first, just like lots of our momentum folks. So, but that's pay to play, right? So you have to keep paying. So that's not, I mean, the beautiful thing about an email list is that you're paying for MailChimp or ActiveCampaign or Flowdesk or whatever. And that's might cap out at $100 a month ish. It's really inexpensive. Yeah. And then you own that list and you can email them as much as you want. And even with email, people probably feel that way about email too. Maybe you're standing naked on the interstate analogy. I think I certainly go through that every time I send my weekly email. I think everybody, you know, just saw that. Maybe I feel, but they don't. No, you look at the open rates and they don't. And even on email, they need to see things multiple times. And I think that's an important, even if you are active on social and doing the reels and you're posting stuff in your space and you're doing your CRM follow-up and all the things that we do as part of our sales funnel is probably really never enough because people need to see things 7-8 times before it's really starting to click with them. I'll let you kind of jump in. And I also want to make sure we talk about your masterclass because you have a free training coming up and I want to hear, you know, what you're covering and encourage folks to attend. And we'll put the links to those classes in the show notes so that everybody can find those and grab that. Cause this is, I think, a tremendous just learning opportunity. We teach email marketing in our Community Manager University. And it's really, most folks are just really getting introduced to it. And I'm sure we kind of scratched the surface on what you're teaching, but I want to give one like really fun example. We have a member in Connecticut and she runs a space that hosts a lot of events. She has a lot of people that come through the space. She's really diligent about capturing email addresses and building her email list. So she has thousands of people on her email list, which is unusual for especially a co-working space operator. Maybe, a retail store might have like high volumes of people coming through and they get the Stripe data. It does take effort for co-working space operators to build that email list, but events is a great way to do it. Well, she has started hosting, and she's going to be on the podcast, but she's a couple weeks out. So I just want to mention this. She started hosting holiday pop-up events or health fairs. So she has vendors who pay for booths in her space. Mm-hmm. And they pay partly because she brings traffic and not just the people who are already in her space. It's really from her email list. Yep. So she's helping them to sell tickets or she's selling tickets to the event and getting traffic to the event. Mm-hmm. This is really hard to do if you're only sending your members to the event, right? Because that's 100 people, 200 people. She's got thousands of people on that list. And so she can charge for the booth, which you can't do if you can't get people to the event, and she's selling tickets. So she's running those once a quarter now because they've become such a nice way to give a little, you know, revenue pop and, you know, get people through the space. And it's just like kind of a great ecosystem. But if you don't have that, you know, that's not an opportunity. And that's maybe not something everybody wants to think about doing, but that is like one fun example of something you could do and a way to monetize that list. Sure. If you build it, you know, and if you build it and you nurture it, to your point. Other benefits, I think, for co-working space operators, you have an office that opens up and you want to let people know that's available, to your point, because if you're close to occupancy, then being almost full, you may not be running Google ads on a regular basis. And so this is one of those levers that you can pull to let people know what you have available. Some event space, meeting space, like to your point, like staying top of mind with folks, even if they're not ready to book right now. I think one thing about email marketing, and I'd love to have your perspective on this, is that sometimes we feel like maybe it's like a little bit of a long game. Like, for co-working space operators, it may not be as apparent that someone's like taking a purchase action from an email, but it's such a good lever to keep things, keep meeting room space, event space, and other memberships top of mind. I also think for people who, co-working is still new in a lot of markets. So people who are like fence sitters, I'm not sure if co-working's for me. I'm not sure if I'm ready to carve out that budget for a membership. Building that know and trust and showing member stories and testimonials, you know, can sort of erode those objections over time. So I think it can be a little bit of a longer play, but I think it's really still an important strategy. I'd love to hear some of your thoughts about the benefits and how you think about it.
Well, for sure. I completely agree with everything you said. As business owners, we need to look at, as you're saying, levers. What are all of the ways you could market this business? And we need to take advantage of all of those. So email is just one part of that. Not only adding people to that list and thinking of creative ways to get them on your list, but then emailing them regularly, because the last thing we want to do is get a whole bunch of people on our email list and then never say anything to them
again. And then let it sit there. Yes.
Because what happens is if you let it sit there and then you email them, they go, who is this? I didn't sign up for this email. I don't remember this. And then the next thing you know, they've marked you as spam and they've unsubscribed and it's a mess. So if you're going to build the email list, get into the regular habit at least once a month. Preferably, I teach my clients and students once a week to email that list something. And it doesn't have to be this massive newsletter with fireworks and sparklers attached to it and, you know, all of this gobbledygook in it. Nobody actually wants that. What they want is simple text, maybe a couple of graphics. Keep it simple, keep it skimmable, but keep it fun. I don't know, you could tell them something wild and crazy that happened at the co-working space, or
everybody has those stories.
They have those stories. Yeah. So you do that, but then you put that in your repertoire of marketing. We've talked about being present on social media, making sure you've got your reels and going live and doing your posts and all that. We've talked about paid ads, Google and Facebook and all that jazz, and television or radio. And then email is a part of that as well. And I would add on for brick and mortar, local networking, being yes. visible at the Rotary, being visible at the Chamber. Yeah. And doing collaborations with people that have your same audience where you could host a vendor event, like you're saying. I think that's a brilliant idea. So with the email, it just fits in with the various categories of marketing that every business owner should be doing.
Yeah, 100%. And consistently. I know I try to email once a week. And if not, I was out of town for a conference last week and I missed last week and I wake up like sweating. I know I missed this week. So, right. We take it very seriously. And if you're listening and you're on the email list, hopefully you kind of see that consistency and you feel like we show up in your inbox frequently. And so, you know, what's going on with us and we build that kind of ongoing relationship. Yeah. Okay. Well, tell us what else do you cover in your masterclass that we haven't talked about yet?
So the masterclasses are free and we're having several different sessions. So go to the link that Jamie's going to give you, find a date and time that works for you. This is how to create an email list of your ideal clients without paid ads. And I'm teaching four simple strategies that everybody can take away that same day and consider for their visibility and their list growth, whether they are in the brick and mortar space or the online space, because what I'm going to teach pertains to both. There's just different nuances for each one. It's kind of like we talked about, the conversation is the same. The tactics and marketing are kind of the same. It's just, there's a little bit different nuance to it if you've got a brick and mortar versus an online. But just one example that I'm going to teach, and this is something that your audience, I would highly recommend for them, is to make sure their Facebook personal profile reflects that they are a business owner and it leads to their email list in some way. So if they've got a co-working space, if I meet them at a Rotary event, a Chamber event, or I meet them by seeing them in a Facebook group, because we have local Facebook groups. We have Little Rock Power Women. We have Arkansas Women Networking. And there are local Facebook groups to each of your brick and mortar businesses. And so if they're networking and being visible in those groups, somebody sees what they post and they think, oh, well, that sounds really cool. They go click on their name because their Facebook personal profile shows up in that group. They go to that personal profile. If there is no information about who they are, who they serve, how they serve them, about their co-working space, about and a cover photo that showcases that co-working space and a way to land on their email list to get more information about it, that is where the connection ends. That is a disconnect for everybody. Either they meet them in person or they meet them in online. They're going to want to know more about them. And we've got to make sure that we keep that going, that when somebody sees our Facebook personal profile, they don't go, oh, well, I thought Tracy had a business. I thought she was a business coach. There's a picture of her dog here. I don't know. I can't, she doesn't have a website. She doesn't have, she, you know, she, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know about this. And then they're going to go, nope, she's not the one I want to hire. Or nope, that's not the co-working space I want to go to. You know what I mean? So that's just one simple strategy that I teach about visibility that's just super important. After having spent over 20 years building businesses, it's little things like that
totally
that can add up when you, what I like to call it, we've got to plug the holes that you have in your visibility so that your marketing machine, all of your marketing efforts are cohesive. There's no leaks in any of it. And it all starts to gel and feed off of the next thing.
Okay. I think I might be guilty of not having that in place. I love that. And also people know my name from the podcast, right? People probably do look and then, yeah, can't, you know, they might be thinking about my Facebook group or trying to find whatever. And I'm not sure what you can find from my personal profile. I got to work on that. And it's really same thing on LinkedIn, right? Like, where do you work? And what's the opt-in? Yeah. Is there a resource? Is there for co-working spaces? I mean, it could be really as simple as a free day pass. You don't have, really don't have to overthink it. And I think that's what you were just saying about what you publish every week or twice a month is don't overthink it. Just try to get consistent.
Exactly. I mean, a free day pass is a great idea. What about a free PDF about the benefits of a co-working space? Yeah. Why this is a better option for you than going and leasing a long-term
100%. Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Yep. You know, what do you look for in a co-working space? The top five questions to ask when you go
on a tour. Yes. That's a great one. You, what's funny is we actually sometimes struggle with, we try to make recommendations on what's a good opt-in to have as a pop-up on your, you just had some good ones. I'm going to have to take notes. Sometimes you need to be like outside of it to come up with those ideas really quickly.
It's really hard to see your own stuff. It really is. I can spitball this stuff all day long for other people. And then I sit here and I go, okay, I need to think of something. And I'm going,
yeah.
What shall it be? And it's, but what's nice is when I'm communicating, like I have one of my business besties, Shannon, I was telling her about a training that I was doing and she goes, oh my gosh, that has to be a lead magnet. And I'm like, what? How can I make that a freebie? And she goes, okay, you can do da 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 da. And I was like, that's brilliant. And I'm over here going, I'm a coach. Why the heck did I figure that out for myself? But it's just, it's, you're in it and you can't see it. And totally. we forget what it's like to be the person that is thinking, okay, first of all, what's a co-working space? Why do I need one? Yep. How does it benefit me? Why is that the best choice? And then, okay, you've convinced me. Well, how do I know that I'm going to get in the right one and it's not going to be a freaking nightmare? And it's, you know what I mean? It's not going to be more stress for me when I'm trying to work.
Yeah. Right. Just get stuff done. And it's right. And because we know all of that so deeply, it's hard to back up and remind ourselves what are those questions and feelings that of like apprehension that folks can have when they're new. No, those are actually really, really helpful. I think the other thing about email marketing, when you're talking about sort of all the, you know, tactics that we should use is there's not that many levers to pull in terms of marketing. And so to your point, you have to use the ones that you can pull. And some spaces won't even have a budget for paid ads, or maybe they're in a market that's too small and it just doesn't make sense. So then I often will brainstorm with operators on marketing and it's, well, what lever can you pull? And email marketing is just such a good one. And it's great for education. It's great. I was pulling some stats. I'd be curious to hear what you think about these stats. Okay. So Return on investment, $36 for every $1 spent.
Are you talking about marketing?
Yeah. I mean, it probably depends on what you're selling.
Yeah, I think it does.
Yeah, track that conversion and that ROI for a specific business. But I think their point is like, if you build the list and you can get a get conversions from your list in terms of members, because if a member joins a co-working space, the lifetime value of that is quite high. If they take an office, you know, that could be $10,000, you know, mm-hmm. right there. Or if they book a big meeting or event space, or they book anything that's recurring, you know, and customer preference, right? I think lots of customers are spending time on social, but they're not seeing everything you post. So, this was a good one. Over 50% of people check in the US, check their personal email account more than 10 times a day. I bet I check mine 600 times a day. Too much. But also remembering that most of them are about half of them are on mobile. So making sure your emails are mobile optimized. So I was just kind of pulling some email marketing stats besides sort of qualitative and the examples, but
yeah, it's definitely a higher ROI than a paid ad or using social media for sure, because you're right there front and center in front of them. And there's some tricks to being more visible in the inbox. I'm sure you already know this, but if you'll put an emoji as the first character in your subject line, you are more likely, that's going to be more likely to be seen. If you think about the lineup in your inbox, and if my email that comes to you has a little yellow smiley face on it or something, you're going to be like, oh, what's that? You know, and you're going to want to open it. And then depending, you know, there's different ways to write your subject line. Subjectline.com is a great free resource that can score your subject line based on the chances of somebody actually opening it. And, you know, if you put co-working 101, if you put 101 or you put the truth about, that's another popular subject line. If you use the word actual, or like you could say actual footage from a co-working space. I mean, that would be hilarious. And I would open it. Right.
Or we have lots of actual footage from co-working
spaces. Exactly. And it doesn't have to be the actual footage. It could be a funny GIF of somebody blowing through a co-working space and, you know, dropping popcorn, spilling coffee all over everybody or whatever. And that would be absolutely hysterical. And the more you can entertain your list, the more likely they are to open the email. And then if you use the word real, you know, you could say real life stories from, you know, Real Housewives of the co-working space. I don't know. I'm just spitballing stuff here. That would be entertaining. And then don't overthink the email. I can't stress this enough. They are skimming your email. We have got to use bullet points. We've got to use a lot of white space. Writing the email goes against every grammatically correct thing I ever learned in college.
Turn Grammarly off while you're writing.
Exactly. This is not a 5-point essay. This is write like you talk, use some humor. I will write a sentence, white space. Another sentence, white space. And literally my mom got some of my emails early on and she was like, she's an English teacher. And she goes,
oh no.
She goes, we need to talk about this. This is just really not okay. And I was like, well, mom, this is the way you market in the online space. So it was really funny. And then remember that not only the subject line is one of the most read things in your email, but your PS and your PDS are the most read things in the email. So don't lose that great real estate at the bottom of the email. Don't forget about that PS. And sometimes I'll get my little sassy pants on, and sometimes my PS is for the skimmers. This is what my email said. And it'll basically just summarize it, because we all know they're all just going straight down to the bottom. Like, what's in the PS?
Do you know what's so funny? I feel like this is like your naked on the interstate analogy. Is I'm pretty sure when I'm writing these emails, I've convinced myself that people are reading every line. And I'm going to take your masterclass, because you're full of so many little nuggets. And I feel like even if you've been doing something for a while, it's like just getting a new perspective and refreshers. I don't leverage the PS often enough. And I've heard subjectline.com referenced and I haven't ever used it. So
that's a good one. And then there's another one, and I think it's called, I haven't used it in a while, but I think it's called Headline Analyzer or something like that. That's another good one.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you can get ideas from ChatGPT. So I like get ideas, but run it through subjectline.com, who probably knows what it's doing even more than ChatGPT in terms of. Yeah.
And you can tell if an email's been written by ChatGPT. At least I can, because they use the same words over and over again, you know. But
let's delve into the big exciting news. Yeah, I'm always kind of stuck and delete that line. We all know that's what ChatGPT says.
Skyrocket your results. That's another one I'm on. Explode, explosive growth, you know, that kind of thing. But I did use ChatGPT recently for one of my Facebook Live trainings because I was just so tired and I was like, I cannot come up with anything good. And so I hopped in there and I just said, here's what I'm talking about. Here's the impact I'm making with this training. I need a subject line. And I ended up taking the first part of one and the second part of another one that it recommended and piecing it together. And it's been one of the most popular ones I've done. People are like, oh, that sounds fascinating. And I'm like, well, I
do that for podcast titles sometimes. Same thing. You're just like, okay, I've spent too much time on this and now somebody else's brain, and I won't always take right, but it gives you some ideas.
Yeah, it does give you some ideas.
Yeah. Okay. I have to share one other example. There's a group in Atlanta, and I don't think that they use this section anymore. Maybe they'll bring it back. It's Thrive Coworking, and they had a section in their newsletter called Shower Thoughts.
Yeah.
Totally unrelated to co-working, mostly, but it was literally like whoever was writing it would be like, these are my shower thoughts from this morning. And they're always hilarious. So to your point, I would open the email because I knew there was something funny in there, but they would also use it to talk about new location openings or whatever else they were promoting and member features. I always love reading member features too. I teach that as a really easy core, you know, content piece in your template. Because, you know, you kind of talked about it in your, like, people want to connect. They want to know what are other people up to, especially business owners. We always want to know a little behind the scenes of other business owners. And I think that can be really compelling and entertaining, right? It's like sort of story, you know, story format, but the shower thoughts I thought was brilliant.
You know, the member feature is great because everybody likes to be recognized. Everybody likes to be seen and heard and validated. And if you are featuring your members in your email, and I'm one of the members, I'm going to be like, I got to open this and see if that's me this time. You know?
Yeah.
Or opening it and seeing who it is and going, they featured her. No, I'm just kidding.
I know. But I mean, speaking of open rates though, another benefit. It's really simple things. We don't have to overthink it. Get them to open it. Make sure you have a good PS or a PPS. Okay. Anything you want to share before we wrap up and make sure we send people over, including myself, over to your upcoming, and your masterclasses are live in the next couple of weeks,
they
right?
They are live and they are free. Yep. Awesome. And when you show up live with me, I give you two exclusive bonuses you won't find anywhere else. One is the Facebook Growth Toolkit to learn all of my best practices for the platform. And the other one is one called New Clients in 30 Days. And it is a new guide that we put together with some mindset stuff and some quick strategies that can get you on the road to having more new clients in just 30 days time. I'm really excited about both of those bonuses.
Okay. I love it. Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you for coming on and sharing your perspective, and most importantly, getting folks to just start thinking about how important building your email list is and the ROI that it might have. Yeah. And so look in the show notes, and I'm going to put it in our weekly newsletter to you, the link to your upcoming live masterclasses. And I'm going to make sure I'm in one of those as well, because I've been taking notes and I'm sure I will get my notebook out and ready for the masterclass. So awesome. And I know you've been super busy and just coming back from your trip. So thanks for making the time to do this. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. I love any opportunity I can have to help. And I just appreciate the opportunity to come to your audience and see if I can make a difference.
Awesome. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you like what you heard, tell a friend, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a rating and review. It makes a huge difference in helping others like you find us. If you'd like to learn more about our education and coaching programs, head over to everythingcoworking.com. We'll see you next week.